For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. This week, of course, is a week in which, in our national life, a time is set apart for Thanksgiving. And it turns out that this has become quite an awkward time in our culture. I think many of us know the scene, perhaps have been in the homes where people have gathered around a table, and there's a feast set on the table, and it comes time to pray, you would think, and to thank God for the bounty of his provision. And there's a strange sort of awkwardness that comes over, and perhaps there's a moment of silence observed. Or perhaps people take turns thanking one another around the table, or naming just one thing into the air for which they're thankful, or doing something, anything as it were, but actually stopping and taking a moment and offering their thanks to God. To whom or to what do we offer thanks? There was a time, perhaps, and certainly I believe the intention by Lincoln, when he proclaimed this to be a national holiday, that we were to offer our thanks to the living God, the God of the Bible. And we may criticize exactly how that God was conceived and understood and so forth, and that's not today's sermon or today's lesson. But those days, it seems to me, are largely past. And we find textbooks that explain the national holiday as a thanksgiving to Native Americans for the help that they offered to the early settlers. And again, people pausing for moments of awkward silence or thanking one another or whatever they do, blindly naming rather than thanking the living God. And this, to me, it seems, illustrates Paul's point here in the 21st verse of Romans 1, that although the people know God and know that he is their creator and the source of all the good that they receive, they fail to acknowledge him or to honor him as God or to give him thanks as they should. And this failure to give thanks to God for his many benefits and blessings to us, that I want us to see is perhaps the most basic expression of our depravity. And yet it's so innocent looking. so familiar to us. We don't even notice it. It's just the natural way that we live out our days. But we can ask ourselves this simple question. What does depravity look like? Does it look like anarchy in the home and in society? Violence and chaos in the streets? Consuming sexual confusion and licentiousness? Broken marriages, rebellious children? Exploitation and corruption in authority structures, ruthless greed and selfishness, intolerable pride, envy and malice, and whatever else that Paul lists here in verses 28 through 32. Yes, it does. It looks like all of those things. But we might say that that's what depravity looks like when it's gone to seed. And that the first harvest of our depravity is just this. That we fail, even refuse to honor God as God, or to give him thanks as we should. And so what does human depravity look like? Does it look like all of these grotesque things that I was just describing? Yes, it does. But it can also look like an extended family gathered around a feast and either failing to be thankful at all or failing to offer their thanksgiving to the living God. And long before these other manifestations of our depravity come to light, depravity looks like a simple failure to acknowledge God or to honor him in our daily routines or to give him thanks for the many kindnesses that we enjoy and that abound to us daily. Depravity first looks like prayerlessness, a very clear sign that we have forgotten our God. And sure, it's found in a grumbling and complaining spirit rather than one of gratitude to God. But you know, it's also found in the happy-go-lucky godless man who's quite content with his middle-class income and all-American family and his various diversions that keep him quite distracted from things he doesn't want to face or deal with in life. You see, depravity looks like indifference and ingratitude to God. And this kind of indifference and ingratitude, it seems, is the most natural thing in the world to sinners. It's what we do when we simply don't try to do anything at all. It's what we fall into when we're not resisting or fighting or struggling against sin. It's the natural way that we move through life. The way that sinners spend their days and live out their hours and moments, as though we were our own gods and have only our own wills to consult and are our own masters and lords and saviors. And sinners don't want God, and they love nothing more than to think that they don't need him. And why would anybody who wants to live under the illusion that they don't need God ever offer thanks to him? Because what is thanks? But a very clear acknowledgement that we do need God, that we are dependent on him, that we have received from him, and we are grateful for what we have received. So sinners go through life ignoring God, indifferent toward him, ungrateful for all of his kindness and many benefits, and some even have the audacity to pride themselves that they're open to God. They're open to religion. They're no hater of God. Perhaps they take their family to church sometimes, or maybe their mother or something like this, and surely they're a good guy. And yet we seldom, it seems, ever pause to reflect on just how rude and offensive this kind of behavior is to God. How we would not tolerate the same kind of behavior in our children. Could you imagine a situation where somebody, maybe another adult in church or just a neighbor or somebody, showers praise or kindness or gifts upon our own children and they simply turn around and walk away, taking the loot with them and never acknowledge the giver or to offer them thanks for what they've given? It seems to be the height of rudeness, and yet this is our daily way of existing before God when we're dead in sin. How offended would we be if others simply ignored us or refused to acknowledge our gifts and favors that we shower in them? And yet this happens, and it happens right in the midst of Thanksgiving, the national holiday of Thanksgiving, even as people gather around a table that has a feast set upon it. But you know, it's not just about them. It's not just about the way that the unregenerate live before God and how they are indifferent and ungrateful. For we also once were dead in our sin and followed the course of this world and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. But things are different for us now, right? For we who were once strangers and aliens to the covenant of grace and had no hope in this world, we've been brought near through the blood of Christ. We have been saved by grace through faith and have inherited an unspeakable blessing and riches untold, which are waiting for us in the beloved. And we know that He is working all things together for the good of those who love Him. All things, Paul states. And so therefore, it makes perfect sense that we should give thanks in all circumstances and indeed for everything, nothing excluded, knowing that this is God's will for us in Christ. And so surely, armed with this knowledge through faith and our minds being renewed through the power of God's word, we've been transformed, right? And out of our indifferent and ungrateful ways, and our hearts are overflowing day and night with gratitude, right? So we never grumble or complain about anything, right? And we pray without ceasing, constantly acknowledging God every moment of our day, without fail, in everything, and thanking Him for everything, right? For the flat tire and the term paper, for the slander that was against us, or the trials that we are enduring, even for that long meeting or that short break, or for the poverty that seminarians notoriously suffer from, or whatever sickness it is that has struck us or our family, or whatever else that befalls us. We can never be found like the Israelites to grumble and complain that we're bored with manna and want meat, can we? No, not us. And in this way, when we fall into these temptations and when we lapse in these ways, we are actually showing that we are still far too much in conformity with the pattern of this desperately wicked world. The need that we have to be transformed out of that conformity by the renewing of our minds. Do you find yourself sluggish at heart? Not nearly so grateful in your spirit as you would wish? I think we would all acknowledge that we do. That we are still far too much conformed to the pattern of this world in these things, and that we go about our lives far too much as those who have no hope and are indifferent and ungrateful toward God. But know this, there is a simple, biblically prescribed antidote close at hand, and it's just this: remember the Lord your God. If you rise in the morning and feel sluggish in your soul, take time to remind yourself of the Lord your God. Turn to Scripture and stir up your heart by reminding yourself of Him and of His many benefits. Meditate in prayer on the excellence of Christ and consider His cross and consider His resurrection and consider His ascension and consider His session right now at the right hand of the Father as our great high priest and king. Appeal to the Spirit who indwells you to deliver you out of your spiritual funk, that He might loosen your tongue again to sing His praises, that your heart might be filled and stirred up again by the gospel in gratitude for God and for the grace that He's lavished on you and His beloved. Consider the Psalms and the Psalmist and how God's people have found it necessary to do these very things, how so often the psalmist begins quite low, as it were, but takes time to recite the many benefits of God and to reflect on the wonder and the glory of God and concludes in praise and thanksgiving. Remember the Lord your God as you go out and when you come in, when you sit down to eat and when you rise up to work or to play or to do whatever it is that you set yourself to. Remember him always and in everything. And if you do this one simple thing, I cannot promise you that you're going to lose your belly flab like the ads on the internet constantly promise if you do this one simple thing. But I can promise you this, that you too will conclude in praise and thanksgiving. For you will be filled with the knowledge of him in Jesus Christ, that he is God, even your God, and you belong to him, body and soul, and are his blood-bought possession forever.